All right, 5:31, we'll call meeting to order. With roll call.
Member Banks is absent. Member Cohen?
Here.
Markley? Member Olson?
Here.
Member Raymond?
Here.
Member Stitch?
Here.
Member Suter?
Here.
Member Wax?
Here.
Okay, moving on to agenda item number 3, public comment. Have any the public in the room want to make a comment?
Yep. I'd like to suggest 2 future agenda items. One in particular is requesting Alameda CPC staff to come back to VPAC for an update on the San Pablo Avenue project spanning from Oakland to South Berkeley. It hasn't been reported widely yet, but that project is very much on the rocks right now. They updated their construction estimate from 2026, construction start estimate from 2026 to 2029. And that's still pending funding, which so that's maybe like their best case scenario. And the funding situation is not looking great. There's other cities in the corridor. Oakland has a paving project on San Pablo in 2028. Berkeley's already acquired some funding to do upgrades at Ashby and their side. But there's really no other movement that I know of on the Intermodal side. So I'm asking all of the local VPACs to request an update from Alameda CTC staff, help them explain what's going on, and hopefully forge some kind of path forward on that project. The other agenda item is one I've been suggesting for a while. It's about pedestrian signal policy. I'd like very much like to come to the group and show a menu of options that, and others, some examples from other East Bay cities with regard to pedestrian signaling, even some from within Emeryville on Caltrans Redway that are good examples. Hopefully, we'll have to inform some smart updates to pedestrian signal policy in Emeryville. Thanks.
Great. Thanks. Any other public comments?
Get any comments?
No speaker cards? Okay. Move on to item 4. Welcome to our new members.
Yay!
Would either of you like to take some time to say anything about yourself? Or...
Sure, yeah. My name's David Raymond. I've lived in Emeryville for about 2 years now. Love it here. I work as a civil engineer, so very familiar with this type of work. Specifically in transportation. The reason I sort of got into that field was due to my interest in running and biking. So a pretty avid runner, biker around Emeryville. So I'm hoping that a combination of my interests and my expertise will help this advisory committee.
My name's Natalie. I've been living in Emeryville for about 5 years, and I am the public affairs specialist for Dublin San Ramon Services District, which provides water and sewer service to parts of the Tri-Valley. So I've been working as the communications manager for locally owned public utilities for about 10 years. So I'm loving the recycle sign and the Save Like a Pro in the corner. But the reason why I signed up for this committee is just because the walkability, bikeability aspect of Emeryville is really what I love about living here. And I've always worked in public works departments, but not necessarily on the transportation city planning side of things. And I want to learn more about it. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to learn about my own neighborhood.
Thanks to both of you and welcome. Moving on to item number 5. June 2nd, 2025, regular meeting action minutes. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Member Cohen?
Aye.
Member Olson?
Aye.
Member Raymond?
Aye.
Member Stitch?
Aye.
Member Suter?
Aye.
And Member Wynn?
Aye.
Right. So on to the action items. Most importantly, 6.1, election of the Food Pack Advisory Committee Chair and Vice Chair. Wants to do it.
We usually nominate, right?
Oh, yeah. Wants to be nominated.
Oh, you're used to wanting to do it and wants to be the chair.
Yeah.
Got it. I'll nominate you, Jesse.
Okay. I can do it again, but I don't have to do it again.
Anybody else want to do it?
Definitely. Also need a co-chair. Vice chair.
First mate. You did separately. Could do two separate motions.
Oh, yeah. Well, doesn't someone else have to nominate me?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second for that? I don't know if the receiver is. Okay, great.
Okay, so the motion is to nominate, is to elect Jesse Olson as chair of the committee. Okay. Call vote.
Yes, there was no, since there were no other people. It seems like it's a done deal. Doesn't have to be elected.
Wait,
because it's confirmed.
To follow the proper procedure, it might require a vote.
Okay.
Member Cohen?
Aye.
Member Olson?
Abstain.
Member Raymond?
Wow. Aye.
Member Stitch?
I feel like I should abstain because I don't know anyone yet.
Member Suter?
Aye.
Member Wax?
Aye.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. We've only got four eyes.
Oh, man. Myself.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what if we, who's the, we don't want to have this as the vice chair.
All
right. Who wants to be the vice chair? Anyone here? You elect Eric, but I know he's going to be gone for many weeks.
What are the typical responsibilities of the vice chair?
Good question.
I have chair in the chair's absence.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's basically.
I'll throw my name.
I'll second that.
I'll second myself.
We can vote that in now.
Okay. All right. So the motion is to, we have to vote for me and Josh. We didn't get a one vote. Is that
right?
That's what we're going to vote on now.
Vote.
Okay.
So the motion is to elect.
Both have to vote.
Yes. Elect Member Olson as chair and Member Cohen as vice chair.
Okay.
Member Cohen?
Aye.
Member Olson?
Aye.
Member Raymond?
Aye.
Member Stitch?
Abstain.
Member Suter?
Aye.
And Member White?
Aye.
Congratulations.
We did that. Okay. And now the Activism 6.2 rescheduling the September meeting. I'm assuming because of Labor Day.
Yes, it falls on Labor Day.
Why does it keep happening? So then I guess the motion would be to move it a week and put it on, I guess, the 13th.
It'd be the, is it the 8th?
One of the calendar,
right?
Yes. Move to September 8th. I move that we move the September meeting to September 8th.
Second that.
Great.
Okay, but Member Raymond?
Aye.
Member Stitch?
Aye.
Member Suter?
Aye.
Member Wax?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cohen?
Aye.
Chair Olson?
Aye.
Great. Well, we're just zooming right through this. Information item on the Powell Street redesign at 7.1.
I've been planning and introducing you, but I can't. So we do have a project or capital improvement program called the Palace Street Redesign. This is the first project that came out of our ATP studies item in our capital improvement program. So we have a team from Make here. We got Karthik and Mukul here from the Make team. And I'll let you guys introduce yourselves and take the show.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Mukul Malhotra. I'm the principal at MIG, working for the city on the Power Street project. Karthik?
Karthik Kumar, project manager, landscape architect, working on this project.
And we'll do a brief presentation, starting with the project area. It's really from the freeway right till up to Emeryville Marina Park. We kept into account the key goals that the city set for us for the project, including equitable access for all users, safety and comfort, ensuring multimodal enhancements, where possible, incorporating rest and contemplation, recreation and play, placemaking, opportunities for both gateway as well as habitat creation. Our intent was to build on concurrent, existing, as well as past efforts, be it the City of Emeryville's Active Transportation Plan or the Climate Streets Policy Framework, as well as past efforts that the city had done in terms of trying to think of opportunities to improve our street too. We started in about late 2024. In October, we have gone through a series of engagement process that we're going to share with you. But the key is to check in at all key points with the community. And our intent is to come up with that overall 10% design and final cost estimate towards the end of this year. As part of this process, we are right here where we are coming with some preferred improvement concepts that the Transportation and Sustainable Committee recommended to us to keep in mind and get your feedback on those concepts also. Overall, our multilingual online as well as in-person community survey was about 4 months long. We started towards the beginning of the year. We got over 500 respondents in different languages, including English, Spanish, and Cantonese. The online survey was complemented with in-person pop-ups. So we got a mix of virtual as well as hand-recorded comments, especially in Spanish and Cantonese, as well as in English. It was promoted all around the city, but especially at schools, parks, different retail businesses along the corridor, as well as in community events. We did do one-on-one stakeholder meetings with not just the city departments, but also key businesses along the corridor, as well as neighborhood group, specifically the Watergate community that is a key part of this corridor. There were different pop-up events, be it at the Bay Street, but also along the corridor itself, as well as really exciting sessions, series of sessions we had with the Emory High School students. With that in mind, the community vision for Powell Street, essentially what the community told us was to ensure comfort, safety, and access for all users, all modes of travel, enhancing the streetscape character, ensuring that we provide a range of public amenities and spaces, and ensure equitable community engagement. The overall urban design framework builds on the community as well as the stakeholder feedback, but also the existing condition analysis that the team of consultants of MIG and Fair and Fierce has done, and incorporating where possible the best practices to come up with the preferred solutions. Overall, in terms of multimodal mobility improvements, the community and the stakeholders very clearly told us they wanted to see an improved walking infrastructure, enhanced bicycle facilities. There was a lot of concern about fast-moving traffic along the lanes of Powell Street and, where possible, have improved transit facilities. We asked the community, how do you move right now along the corridor? As you can see, there was a wide mix of modes of travel that the community identified. including walking as and driving as the two most, but there was a key desire or existing use by both bicyclists as well as the Emory go-round users. But when we asked them if improvements could happen, what kind of modes you would like to keep into account, and there was a very clear desire for people to bike more, walk more, take Emory go-round transit in general, and have enhanced opportunities besides driving. The intent was for us to analyze, keeping into account what we saw on the sites by different modes of travel, people who walk, bike, use other modes of travel. And so our intent is to go through different modes, share with you the existing condition analysis, but also what we heard from the community and the stakeholders and how that has begun to inform the overall framework. Starting with walking, as you all know, there are different widths of walking surfaces. There are sidewalks, sometimes they're part of the Bay Trail, and they primarily go along the corridor, but on the north side, it's really the sidewalk kind of ends where the Watergate is. And then it really essentially continues on the south, and I would say as it turns on the west side. The community feedback was clearly to make sure that they had a separated, protected path for people who walk, who roll, use the wheelchair, so and so forth, all along. Especially along the water's edge, there was a very clear desire for people for who walk and roll. And that's what we kept into account that you begin to see with the red along the corridors. Wherever possible, it's part of the existing sidewalks or the Bay Trail network. But our intent was also to keep into account we could extend it to the Davenport Park from the Watergate. In terms of biking, there's a mix of facilities. There's a class two and a class three, especially as it turns and it becomes part shared with the rest of the roadway, and the dedicated varying width of class two bike facilities exists primarily until you begin to see as it turns along the corridor. The community clearly told us they wanted to see a two-way protected bike facility primarily on the south and the west side of the area, as it has minimal conflicts with the driveways as well as other roadway entries that we have on the north side of the corridor. There was a clear desire to see more additional bike crossings as well as bike parking too. We took that into account, and these are some of the heat maps showing where the community clearly felt a need and a desire to see enhanced facilities. And so what we are beginning to show in the dark or just the green color is a two-way bike facility protected, separated from the walking facility all along the corridor on the south and the west side. Moving to the transit, which is really provided by the Emory go-round, you can begin to see there are about four stops. There's limited service. But clearly, the community talked about having better protected shuttle shelters, and if possible, increased shuttle service frequency, which is under the purview of the EMTA. But clearly, the desire to improve the transit shelters is something that the city can take into account. Just in terms of crossing for pedestrians, especially for bicyclists, also, there are limited, as you go further south or west along the corridor, and the intent clearly by the community was to see an improvement in the existing places where they cross, but also to explore new opportunities to cross the street. So there was a reduction in the number of, the lack of crosswalks, both for pedestrians and bicyclists that exist right now. With that into account, we looked at what could be the additional locations, and you can begin to see some of the locations we began to identify based on where the desire lines of the community was, but also we took into account where our existing destinations and potential locations for people who need to walk, bike, just be able to go from one destination or where they live or work to another destination. And those are the additional five new crosswalk locations as between, say, the Watergate and the Marina crosswalks that exist right now. In general, as far as the last mode of travel is concerned, which is the driving or the roadway, we generally have two lanes of travel, but it changes. As you know, it starts with five lanes, then it goes down to two lanes separated by a median, and then it becomes a two-lane undivided. There is a wide variety of speeds that go from 30 to 15 miles an hour. As I briefly mentioned, safety was a key concern and the ability to calm the traffic, especially fast-moving traffic that occurs when there's not a lot of vehicles on the road. That was clearly something that the community identified, and ensuring that we have protected intersection specifically for pedestrians and bicyclists at all key areas. So with that in mind, we looked at opportunities to reduce as part of the overall framework to go from 30 to about 25 and then slowly go down to 15 miles an hour with a series of interconnected improvements, be it additional crosswalks or other traffic calming that could be explored in as part of the future phases of this project. But overall, you begin to see the framework that we identified, a two-way bike facility on the south or the west side, but also a continuous pedestrian facility. It takes into account, as we began to develop individual concepts, we took into account the different land uses, the edge conditions, and the various right-of-way or curb-to-curb opportunity that exists out here. And we looked at five distinct street segments, and Karthik is going to go one by one with each segment. But overall, going from the 580, it's really the gateway streetscape that goes till the access road. The next big segment, which is really in front of the Watergate, is the Watergate streetscape, which we're calling segment B. Segment C is really the Portview streetscape. And then the last two are the Marina streetscape as the Powell Street turns. And then the very final one is the Park streetscape where we have the Marina. To summarize all the different streetscape concepts that we came into account, we took into account that there would be six common level set of improvements. One was to ensure continuous and comfortable sidewalks along the waterfront. Second is to have a protected two-way bike lane along the south and the west side of Powell. Enhanced existing crosswalks, both the existing that exist, but also adding new mid-block, five new mid-block crosswalks in general. Reducing the travel lanes wherever possible with wide right-of-way repurpose that would be given to the walking, biking, as well as landscape opportunities, which in turn will hopefully calm traffic and also have additional street trees and planting wherever possible. In other improvements, where if possible, as we begin to develop the 10%, we would look at exploring having additional amenities, including seating, as well as public activity spaces or potential artwork. And then as a side benefit, there was an opportunity to have reconfigured on-street parking, primarily on the north side of Powell Street. And Karthik is going to talk about how that we explored in segment B as well in other areas. So overall, Karthik, do you want to talk about the different type of concepts we came, both medium as well as long?
Sure. Thank you, Mukul. So I think as we take you through these different concepts, five different segments through the street, we came up with a preliminary prototypical design for each and multiple options for each. And primarily, we try to classify them as medium-term, cost-feasible options that are optimizing the use of the city's funds that are available. And they try to maintain existing curbs and medians and focus on restriping and providing additional signage. And where possible, we incorporate landscape improvements. Longer term, higher cost options were also studied, and those are outside the current feasibility, feasibility and funding that's available to the city. And those would consider new curbing, new signage and striping, but also significant landscape improvements. And generally, as a key, the options that we outline with the red box indicate what we have presented and what the Transportation Sustainability Committee has recommended as an approved concept. As Google explained, we have five different segments. Each segment has its own distinct character and its own distinct cross-sectional condition. Excuse me. As we start from the east, generally to orient you, all of these segments, we start with a key plan on the top left, and the key plan kind of tells you where we are. The section that we're looking at, there's a blow-up plan on the far right, and the existing section at the bottom. And the two red lines indicate the edges of the right-of-way face-to-face curb conditions. So this segment is the first segment, starting from Frontage Road up to Access Road. Access Road is the primary access into the complex of commercial buildings and office complex, and as well as the Hilton Hotel. And so this segment is where you have the maximum number of lanes. You have two lanes that are coming in from the business district in the city, and three lanes that are headed eastward onto the freeway ramp, as well as back into the city. And there are bike lanes on each side. These are class two unprotected bike lanes adjacent to travel lanes. There's a bay trail along the water side, and there's an existing sidewalk along the east side. I'm sorry, on the north side. So the selected medium-term option essentially creates a protected two-way bike facility along the waterfront. And it does this by reducing the travel lanes to 11 feet and also eliminating one travel lane that is heading eastbound. And what this allows us to do is create a 10 to 12 foot bike lane and a separation. And on the north side, again, we are reducing the travel lanes, travel lane widths to 11 feet and creating a buffer zone between the travel lanes and the sidewalks. Building upon the medium term, the long-term option could include additional tree planting and also additional planting buffers on either side of the street and raising the bike lane up to the level of the existing bay trail. There is also a ramp cost associated with each option. You'll see on the top left. So the existing post-medium term cost option is about $850,000, and the long-term option would have cost $4.5 million.
And this is very rough.
Very rough.
Yes. Order of magnitude cost estimate for this set.
Segment B is the segment that fronts Watergate Apartments. This is a pretty long segment. It's almost half a mile long and goes from Access Road all the way up to Anchor Road. And there's a single travel lane on each side, and there is a pretty wide median, about 18 feet long, which also includes left turn lanes that lead people traveling eastbound into the Watergate complex. And there are unprotected bike lanes on each side adjacent to a parallel parking that is open to the public. And some of it is available all day. The sidewalk and the bay trail conditions are similar to the previous cross section. Here we proposed a medium-term option that again continues, facilitates the continuation of the two-way protected bike lane along the waterfront and creates a separation between the bike lane and the travel lane. And on the north side, what we were able to do is remove the conflict between parked cars and bikes, and also to optimize parking, we were able to move the parking that is currently on the south side over to the north side and create it as diagonal parking that fronts the Watergate complex. So this allows for, you know, this minimizes conflict and also allows for more of the parking to be closer to the Watergate complex. In the long-term option, there's significant planting enhancements proposed and also raising the bike lane up to the level of the bay trail.
And they would be where the fire station is, the intent would be to maintain some sort of a parking that is needed by the folks who work out there.
We also considered another alternate long-term option, and this was perhaps the most expensive rough order magnitude cost, and that is moving all of the both the travel lanes to the north along with parallel parking on each side, and then creating a more consolidated pedestrian, bike, and open space experience on the southern edge of the streetscape. The third segment is perhaps our most constrained in width segment. This is the segment of the street that runs along the existing Emery Cove Marina. And it's about a quarter mile, a little longer than a quarter mile, and consists of one lane each way and a shared bike route. There isn't a separated bike lane within this section. And the travel lanes, as you can see, are pretty wide, 14 feet each. And towards the north side, there is an existing wide planter that separates the street from the parking lot for the Emery Cove. And along the waterfront, there's a meandering bay trail and a planter adjacent to the street. And also there are existing light poles that line this edge of the So there wasn't a feasible medium-term option for this because every option that we considered required moving the curb and rebuilding the curb. So we're calling this the selected option is the long-term option one. And the long-term option one preserves the curb on the north side, but pushes the curb out on the south side in order to A, reduce the travel lanes to the 11-foot dimension and create a raised 10-foot bike lane that continues the bike lane from the previous segment, then also creates a planted buffer between the bike lane and the street. In the long-term option two, the change is to essentially try to create additional buffer zones between the bay trail, the Richmond Bay Trail, and the bike lane by creating a 2-foot buffer and also creating a wider planter separation between the bikes and the street. The consequence of that is we'll have to move the bike lanes further into the planter on the north and reducing that planter width. The other consequence, difference, and also an impact on the cost is that on long-term option one, we're keeping the light poles where they are and not changing them. In option two, we're relocating about 7 to 8 existing light poles. This is the segment, segment D is the segment that traverses from the Emery Cove Marina to the park. And it passes through two pretty large parking lots on either side, one serving Hong Kong East and the other one serving the Safe Harbor Marina. And this is the primary point of access for boats, for cars bringing boat trailers and having them launch a boat into the marina. The roadway section is similar to the previous section, 13 to 14 foot travel lanes, curb to curb, and a shared class 3 bike route. The adjacencies are both sides have planters with existing trees that separate the street from the parking lots. The one other feature is this is the section where the Bay Trail, which was roughly following the alignment of the road, is meandering away from the road, and it's actually following the edge of the water. And so there isn't a walking path along the street. The walking path is now following the water of the road. It's more inland. Again, there isn't a viable medium-term option, so we're considering moving the curb and creating a long-term option. And we're doing this by reducing the width of the planter along the Safe Harbor parking lot and creating the minimal required travel lanes and facilitating the continuation of the two-way protected bike lane with a minimal raised curb to create a separation between the travel lane and the bike lane. There is no disturbance or change to the planting or parking lot adjacent to the Hong Kong facility. And there's no change also to the existing Bay Trail that runs along the water. The last section of the street is the portion of the street that runs through the Emeryville Marina Park. The street section, again, remains the same. The width varies, flares a little bit, but more or less 13 to 14 foot travel lanes with shared and a shared bike route. There are planters on either side, and the streetscape is fronting a public parking lot that serves the public marina as well as visitors to the park, or there are lawns and open spaces adjacent. We consider two options. Long-term option one was the preferred option, and this continues the two-way protected bike lane from the previous segments along the street, and this is achieved by A, reducing the width of the travel lanes to 10 feet and encroaching as minimally as possible on either side of the street, as you can tell from the red lines where the existing street is, and adjusting the planters on either side so that we can achieve this cross-section of the bike lane, a separation, and then two travel lanes. Again, no disturbance to the existing Bay Trail. The alternative that we considered was routing the bike lane behind the existing parking lot, which you can see in gray on the plan. And this was abandoned for various reasons, including cost, but also to be for the extent of disturbance it would cause and reduction in the amount of park area. Those are our five segments, and those were the options that were selected by the Transportation Sustainability Committee, and we welcome your thoughts and comments as well.
Thank you. First thing we're going to do is go around the room and get any clarifying questions for members.
You were talking about the crosswalk improvements in a variety of areas. Do you have any better visuals to show us what the crosswalk improvements would look like rather than just a couple of lines on the map?
No, that is what we'll develop as part of the 10%, but in general, the clear direction was high visibility crosswalks. With better striping that exists right now. Right now, it's just two lines, very limited, it's faded. The community clearly talked about, and we think it makes sense to have the city's more traditional high visibility crosswalk. that would be something that we would develop as part of the future 10 years.
You were also talking about, sounds like in the future, there would be an attempt to slow down traffic. Was there any discussion in the Transportation Committee about having raised crosswalks to slow down traffic?
I don't remember particularly we talked about it, but that is something we are considering, along with some sort of a control at all the crosswalks, be it RRFP or something like that. But the clear direction was between a mix, the traffic calming to be achieved with the high visibility crosswalk to existing crosswalks, more crosswalks, raise crosswalks wherever possible, reduce traveling widths, as you're beginning to see, from they're going from sometimes 13 feet to 11 feet, and then as we go further away from the yacht club to 10 feet. So clearly a huge desire to make that happen. In segment B, I do want to stress, we are also reducing the length of the crosswalks because of the diagonal parking on one end, but also trying to create the protection on the buffer between the bike facility. We are envisioning to have pedestrian refuges as a person crosses from the sidewalk, the two-way bike facility, there would be a pedestrian refuge. And then they would go into the contested area of about, say, 11 feet of traveling, again, get a pedestrian refuge, then go to a travel lane. Generally, people talked about the huge need for safety as the crosswalks are being designed.
Now, when you mentioned bicycle crosswalks, would they be separated from pedestrian? So it'll be a wider crosswalk area.
Yes.
Okay, great. That's all my thought.
Did you have any clarifying questions?
I just wanted to clarify the dashed red lines. Is that the right of way or is that just the curb line? Because I was just noticing some of like the bike facilities seem to be like beyond that. Is there like any issues with obtaining that right of way or have you gone that far yet?
Well, we have. We have a survey and the right of way varies quite a bit. And our intent was to think about face of curve as our construction as much as possible. But where we are going beyond the face of curve on the side of the number, on the side of the building, is still city property. And so we don't really have any property issues. It is the Bay Trail, so we will be thinking about and coordinating requirements for the Bay Trail pedestrian access.
The reason we put the dashed red lines, as we were beginning to think of different options, we actually found, like Kartik said, moving the curb was one of the single most cost contributing things. So we tried wherever as much as possible, if we could stay with the existing curbs, as you can see, there were a number of long term where we had to tweak the curbs in a couple of segments to achieve the protection that the pedestrians and bicyclists need.
So I have a question and a comment. First, my comment was just looking at the heat map that you guys provided at the start of the presentation. I wasn't surprised to see a massive red blob next to the Shell station because I know that is my least favorite part of trying to get on this particular part of the Greenway. So I'm very happy that that was noted, and I'm curious to see what solutions you guys are going to come up with for that intersection. And then my question on this project, and I apologize because this is my first meeting, I'm kind of jumping in halfway through, but you kind of broke the different solutions into two timelines, medium and long term. Are we at a point where you can kind of give an estimate for when we think those two phases would potentially happen, like maybe just the medium term?
So that may be a question for Ryan, but in general, when we were trying to say medium term, we were thinking of something that will not cost a lot of money and will not involve moving the curve. And when we were thinking of the long term, it's not just a timing thing, but it's also a cost. So the medium term, as Karthik said, is something keeping in mind the current funding environment that we have is something that potentially the city can do with its own resources, but in terms of when that would happen is something
we looked at it. I'm Ryan O'Connell. I'm a senior civil engineer in the Public Works Department. So welcome to the new members. So the medium firm solutions and even some of the other, you know, spot improvement solutions, we think that we might be able to incorporate into our annual paving project, which is what we call our sustainable streetscapes program. So if in that, it might be a future year, like 3 to 5 years out to do something like that. And we might need to try to grab some additional funding at the regional level or something like that, where this project could be competitive in. And anything beyond that for the long-term ones, they're very high numbers. So we'd have to go for some large grant sources that are maybe state or federal funds. And then there's a big question mark of how competitive we're going to be with this type of project. So those ones would be 5-10 years out or something like that for a longer term ones.
Gotcha. Thank you.
For segment B, the two medium term, those are the same option, right? Because you have two different versions.
Yes.
Okay, just wondering. So we would have the option down the road of deciding which way we'd like to go. That's my question.
I do want to stress that the Transportation and Sustainable Committee has recommended this particular medium, which is boxed in the red, as their preferred direction. As opposed to the other median term options.
One other clarifying question. Is it like for the Emery go-round in the existing condition and for what you guys are proposing, is it going to have inline bus stops or the like bulb out bus stops with a split stop, and would that interfere with the two-way bike facilities at all?
Our intent at the 10% is to explore trying to make sure that the two-way bike goes behind the bus shelter / where the transit users are waiting, so the protection continues and there's no conflict between the transit users, Emery go-round users, boarding and unboarding. So the bike, if we have enough space, the aim would be to have the two-way bike behind the bus. And they would still go in and out.
So they would cross from the Bay Trail to the bus stop. They would cross the two-way bike, the cycle track?
Yeah. Okay.
That was going to be my question. Where the transit facilities kind of fit in. Are there other like kind of improvements you want to talk about in light of these like kind of cross sections about how they fit?
I would say I think a big consideration was that this is a very scenic part of the city and it's very manageable, and we know that we have the McLaughlin East Shore. I know the streetscape portion of it doesn't look like much, but it's still critical habitat. And then it's also like off the multiple peninsulas in the various East Bay cities, this is the one with the most dramatic views of the city in the East Bay. So that's definitely a consideration. And wherever possible, wherever within budget, we would like to enhance and strengthen opportunities to sit and you know, places for people to rest while they're walking, places for people to sit and view the bay, preferably with some wind protection. And a number of users are who live in the Watergate community are senior citizens in the 80s and 90s, often being wheeled out with a helper. So we are doing modest improvements to the existing Bay Trail to make it wide enough. But I think the big thing that we are doing based on the community feedback is separating the bikes from the pedestrians. Well, because even though the Bay Trail was originally always intended to be a pedestrian path, people would use it to bike. They wanted to be near the water. This way, you're trying to get them as close as possible to the water, but also separated from
I mean, the aim would be, for example, in this segment, as we create at the intersections where we'll have bulb outs to reduce the crosswalk distances, wherever we do the bulb outs, and the opportunity to would be to do some sort of a landscaping to make improvements in general, but also soften the overall environment, but also at the same time, create the pedestrian refuge and shorten the overall crosswalks. So that's something we are exploring at the intersections, if the bulb outs could also include landscaping.
One other consideration that just something to put in the head too is a MTC, one of the Lyft bike share stations was approved to be installed right where that cross section line is right there, the black line right outside the police station where the merry-go-round stops currently. So we're now in that, they only place stations every quarter mile to build out their network. So we're getting that much closer to the marina with bike share.
Is that, you can remind me, is it on the north side or the south?
South side.
South.
I had a question about so like the end of segment A, beginning of segment B, where that first, I think where all the cars do a U-turn, basically right at the access road. Mm-hmm. And it made me start thinking about what type of material you're using as a buffer for the bike lane. Is it going to be consistent throughout? Are you planning on like, what kind of materials are you planning for that?
We haven't reached that yet.
I guess I'd encourage, especially in these types of areas for reasonably hardened, because big cars turning around, making a wide U-turn to get back onto the freeway, often use that as an opportunity for that type of movement. I think that's my only other question. I have some comment, but I'll come back to that.
Okay, are there any more clarifying questions from members? No, we'll move on to public comment.
I just have a clarifying question.
Yeah.
I didn't see it mentioned anywhere, but have you considered, or are you considering painting the speed limits right on the pavement? And maybe painting in several blocks instead of, in one case, it's only one speed limit sign and it's hidden in the bushes. So, but having it on the pavement, it's a constant reminder of what it is, because the design of the street kind of encourages you to drive faster. And so even I, you know, need the reminder by seeing it, you know, right on the street.
Good point.
Yeah, agreed.
Other public comments? Nope. Okay.
I do have a comment that it's not clarifying question.
Go for it.
Okay. Along the Watergate stretch, especially the two blocks from Captain to Admiral, the sidewalk on the north side is rather difficult. It's like barely 5 feet wide, and it's often blocked by shrubbery from the Watergate property. If one person is carrying grocery bags, they fill up the whole sidewalk and makes it undesirable for, say, somebody coming from the other direction to even walk on it. So I'm wondering why. I realize that to widen it would require moving a curb.
Right.
But in the long-term option, I think it's the long-term option one, one of the Dalton lanes is maintained at 12 feet instead of narrow to 11 feet like the other ones are. And it seems that in that case, that would give an opportunity to widen the sidewalk. It really needs that extra 1 foot from 5 feet to 6 foot.
Okay.
I think the 12-foot travel lane is a requirement for the diagonal parking to function adequately.
For the diagonal parking?
Yeah,
for the content of that.
So we would rather do 11-foot, but we have to do a
12-foot
to facilitate that. But your point on the 5-foot sidewalk is well taken.
It's really hard to use.
And the They have a small buffer zone adjacent to the sidewalk.
But I'm sorry, what?
There's a small buffer zone adjacent to the sidewalk on the Watergate side, but it is filled with edges and shrubbery.
And it goes right out into the sidewalk.
So there isn't much room.
It's kind of a single file sidewalk. Yeah. But I didn't realize that with the diagonal parking.
Yeah. I would say the only benefit, one benefit of what Mukul was explaining earlier was adding more protected intersections. And right now the crosswalks are only occurring on one side of the intersection. So we would be doubling that up and creating the bulb outs and enhancing those intersections, thus widen the walking surface at those intersections. So there is some improvement, not exactly along the entire length of it, but
I mean, just widening it at the corner.
At each of the intersections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we totally hear you. We heard it from the community members, especially when we were doing the pop-ups and people were walking on both sides of Powell and how tight it was. And unfortunately, it's that curve. Remove it even by 6 inches or what? The most expensive thing to
avoid. Yeah, I thought that might be part of the reason.
They change the whole stormwater flow line, how everything goes to the drain inlets. It's a huge impact, not just in costs, but the how we need to mitigate the utilities, especially the drainage system.
Yeah, yeah.
Any more public comments? Nope. Okay, then we'll move on to member comments. We go for first first.
I just encourage, I think this is a great design, so thank you for your work. I really appreciate it. I guess I'd encourage two things. They feed into traffic calming along the roadway. I really appreciate that there's going to be a two-way bike lane, but for make the use of the area pleasant and safe for everybody, I'd encourage the use of, as Member Suter suggested, raised crosswalks where possible. And in addition to the advantages of narrow travel lanes, things like speed cushions, et cetera, for roadway traffic calming, in addition to the suggested safety improvements for users.
All right. Thanks for coming and presenting. I had a couple kind of specific things with regards to like maintaining the separation between pedestrians and cyclists. You like for a lot of the medium term designs, you have a curb separation. And I think that's really important when you have different kinds of cyclists who are using that space and different kinds of pedestrians. I'm sure you already know this. The people who like to drive out there with their kids on the bikes in the back and they go very slowly, just kind of practicing. And then you have the people who are trying to set records, trying to blast by people who are just meandering and enjoying the scenery and enjoying their life, not thinking about anything, just as they should. So in those situations, sometimes it's nice to create that, to maintain that separation. I do like the 5-foot buffers. Do agree that sometimes hardening those is good. People in cars like to do strange things sometimes. For segment C, these light poles in the middle of the bikeway aren't great. I'm sure you already know that. sometimes people are not as attentive when they're riding their bike and hitting a fixed object at a certain speed, not pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
I want to also echo the comment about reminding people what the speed limits are. If there's any budget for those nice flashing signs that like you're going too fast, those are also good reminders.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they're very expensive, but it reminds people how fast we're going. I do like speed cushions. I do like the raised intersections. I don't know if you've seen some of the ones around here, but the cars will go up, then when they come down, there'll be chips missing from the concrete. And that's how you know they're effective, because if someone has messed around and they have found out that they are going too fast, and I think they really affect them in like one.
Pump chaps and.
Oh yeah.
And the exhaust pipe.
The same in check.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thank you so much. This all looks great. We've been waiting for quite a while to see what the results of this study were going to be, and I'm surprised by how much room for trees that you found, and I love that because that is such an important enhancement out here that will make it feel less like it's, you know, a driveway along the water and more like a parkway, which is how we really want to make it feel. The segment B thing, I've focused on this a lot because this, these two long-term options are such a big gap. And, you know, the way this is set up, we can sort of have this debate later. But I do think that, you know, the second option as a stretch, the second long-term option is, it really adds so much, including like an almost twice as big buffer from the outside to the first lane of travel. And also this flex community space down the middle. It's, you know, especially since I started working with Parks and Rec, I have been thinking a lot about all of our limitations when it comes to opportunities to interact with the waterfront. The marina I've spent a fair amount of time studying, and definitely one of the problems that we have with it is the fact that there's the entrance to the marina, which like as a cyclist, you know, is hard enough to get to, and that's outside of these plans. But also there's just an extremely limited number of things to do until you get real far along the marina. And by things to do, I mean even just having a nice place to sit down that's available, especially one that has shade. And I can see so much potential for a massive expansion of our community space with these plans. I like the way that they're staged. I think this looks great. I do want to point out one last thing in my comments, which is going back to the polling where it was talking about the modes of transportation out here. One of the things you'll notice is that the green numbers, the future numbers after these, are that the totals are higher. So what you're seeing is not just a mode shift the way we've worked, but a mode expansion. People are seeing multiple different ways that are suddenly going to feel viable to them after they make these enhancements. So a plan like this is going to have a really great marina parkway to, you know, hook into with our other enhancements. They're going to make it easier to get to. It looks really great. Thank you.
I don't really have any new comments to add. I just wanted to reiterate some of the really good comments that I heard from other folks. I definitely think that there's a lot of value in adding some flashing signs or painting the speed limit on the street, whichever one is the best option for the city. I also do really love how much landscaping was incorporated. And overall, I just think that this is a really great plan. Definitely looking forward to seeing a lot more crosswalks. I was happy that you guys added so many.
Yeah, for me, I would say wherever possible, if I love as a pedestrian or as like a runner to have the raised crossings.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's going to be a really good impact in terms of reducing the speed. I know you guys are reducing the lane width, which will in turn reduce the speed of the cars. On the other side of it, right, as a driver, I don't love like necessarily just like the plastic speed bumps, but when you're coming up to like a raised crossing and it sort of signals to the driver to be like, okay, let's be prepared for a pedestrian to sort of cross here, I would just sort of focus on that. And then again, to sort of like echo Member Wax, I think the having somewhere to like rest and sit along the trail is something that I see definitely more in the long-term options, but less so in like the medium term. So maybe there's some like in between there that that we can add some sort of like resting sort of like beautification in between those two options.
To kind of respond to that last point you asked, there's right now Penn City Public Works is working on putting in more benches along that side. So those will probably be done well before any of this is done. So you will be getting a lot more rest places. I would say within the next, let's say, 6 to 8 months. I particularly welcome the design. I've been very active well before being in this committee. When ATP first came out, I was radically against it. And wrote lots of stuff. I participated in your surveys. What you've developed here exceeds my best expectations of a dream. If only, you know, you created the if only. So I'm totally pleased with your design. The repeated interest in the speed limits, I think, will be much more achieved by if every one of those new crosswalks, which I love, because if you put a raised, people will learn very quick. They drive very slow on Powell West. And so I don't even think you will have to even warn anybody. I mean, the hubcaps will be on the first one, but they will slow down after that. Don't for the new drivers. The existing drivers will know easily because the existing speed bumps now, people learn how to get between the lanes. And so there's no speed reduction at all. Mm. So anyway, I encourage that as being emphasized greatly. But I, once again, thank you. It's a wonderful design.
Yeah.
Another
comment?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're driving on Powell Street, I both drive on Powell Street and walk along Powell Street and live there. So, and I have a big concern about it showing a long-term option too. And that's that when you drive on Powell Street, especially when driving west in the afternoon, you can have the sun right in your eyes. I mean, right in your eyes, there's kind of no way to block it. And of course, that can happen in the morning driving east. So when you look at these narrow driving lanes, which are 11 feet, and there's an option where there's no separation between eastbound traffic and westbound traffic. So my comment or question is, can you put something in there that that separates the two lanes? You know, people are often coming back after partying, or maybe they're driving somewhere else after happy hour, Trader Vic's. And it just seems so easy to have a collision there.
Yeah. I just want to add one comment before we potentially close this item. I'm pretty sure I mentioned this before, but I just want to say here, remind everybody that we as a community, as a city, have the opportunity to rename this street to go along with any major package of improvement. The research that I have done, the questions I've asked, has all come back. We don't have any particularly strong connection to this name. It's not descriptive. It's not meaningfully historic, connected to the community. And it could be one of those things, or perhaps both. And from what I understand, there is not currently an official process in the city for conducting a street name change, even though it has happened in the past. So that is something that might need to be implemented before we consider it. But I personally have believed for a while that we can do a lot better than naming like our most visually iconic and visible on a map street, something that like pretty much nobody can answer a question as to why it's named that.
Maybe
not
for
the
second night
at Watergate.
Yes.
No.
Maybe
not.
No. Right.
City Road.
Yeah.
Not City Road. Like that.
That's like a Mario Kart level.
Yeah. The towers used to be called Watergate Towers. So let's get rid of the Watergate. Yeah.
Powell Towers.
Yeah. Make it Marina Towers.
Marina shift. Everyone go to the left. Rosanne, no more comments. Thanks again for coming, for your time, presenting this.
guess we'll move on to information item 7.2. Any updates?
I don't actually have any updates today, but is there any others? I'll just introduce myself. My name is Alyssa Chan. I'm the assistant planner here. I attend all the EPAC meetings. I'll provide informational items on planning projects and when they come in. And I'm also available for questions. I would say generally, like, planning projects are, like, associated with larger projects that have traffic or, you know, bicycle infrastructure implications. We're kind of in a slow period right now. Our big upcoming project is the Sutter Hospital, but I don't currently have any update on where they're at.
Okay. Not going to go through the questions, comments. I guess unless there's a public comment on planning updates. So,
I have a question.
Sure.
I don't know if you can confirm this, but I heard that Sutter was already using the parking garage on Portland Street as a, like, remote parking location for their existing hospitals and shuttling people over. Can you confirm whether that is the case?
I am not aware of that, but I will make a note of it and ask around.
Okay.
And certainly report back on it. Sure.
Public Works updates.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a couple of projects that I want to give you all an update on. First, I'll give you a brief update on 40th Street. The project is still going through environmental clearances, but tomorrow night, the federal grant will be approved at or accepted at the City Council meeting tomorrow night. So that's yay, more money for the project. That's a good thing. And the next project I'll give you an update on is the ongoing sustainable streetscape project. If you live here, you know, policy letter construction has been for decades, it seems. But yeah, they're continuing to make progress. They poured the southwest corner of 53rd and Hollis today, and it actually looked pretty good. Yeah, they're making good progress out there. There have been delays, of course, utility conflicts, installation of green infrastructure to satisfy clean water requirements has kind of slowed the construction industry. But they are picking up, and they are hopeful and optimistic that they can begin paving by the end of next month. So we're kind of keeping an eye on that, very cautiously optimistic that will happen. Then once they do mobilize for paving, whenever that is, then they can start it on the speed bumps that we've been talking about at other meetings around town, several locations. The benches. You mentioned the benches, yeah. Member Suter, and that's also part of the Sustainable Streetscapes project. So before they wrap up the project, they will have installed the benches. They've been ordered. They're on their way. Those will be installed at the arena and along Powell. Yeah, that's my update for Sustainable Streetscapes.
Clarifying questions from anyone?
We're finalizing the design. They've started work on the landscape as well, so we have a landscape architect that's working on the landscape for this little islands and stuff that is going to be installed as part of that project, as part of that part of the project. So that's
where along Doyle is.
It's the bike improvements between 59th and 62nd.
Yeah.
61st?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
The community garden.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's basically like a routing the greenway right there.
We'll kind of make an L connect to the back set of Stanford Hospital area.
Are those designed in the meeting minutes
from last
month? Are those would be accessible?
Not in the minutes, but in the agenda, yeah. Okay. The agenda packets on one can either the last meeting or the meeting before. I can't
before the
okay. I was about to ask where to get more info on that, because that's literally like in front of my house. Yeah. I was like,
really love that section. Yeah. We'll love that.
Mm-hmm.
but love it even more. Any other clarifying questions?
I have one other clarifying question. On 40th Street, mm-hmm. you said we're in an environmental. Are we going into plant or like plant production after that? Or
yeah.
Like, I guess just what's the schedule in general?
Yeah, so the project itself is already at like 95-99% design. Due to getting federal funding, we've had to go back and recertify the project. So we're doing dual CEQA and NEPA clearance with the project in the NEPA right now. So CEQA is pretty much ready, just needs to be filed and all that. The NEPA's
so we're up towards the end of the design.
Yes, yes. So sometime later this year we'll get the NEPA.
There's no other clarifying questions. Any public comments? Any member comments? All right, moving. PPACs we've had in a while. Future agenda items. The Emeryville Loop update. We talk about it? I think so. City sidewalk maintenance, also would love to hear about that. Seems like that's queued up for September.
Yes, we hope to bring it to you in September. Yeah,
great.
Could we bring back in the adopt a sidewalk for future also?
I don't know, do we? Have we done all we could on that?
Well, I've gone out and surveyed, and I've got people chapping at the bit to adopt the sidewalk.
That's interesting.
So
great.
So I'm ready to go.
Okay. You're ready to be deputized.
I'm ready to deputize. I'm ready to find out from Public Works what are the rules and how do we do this legally. Let's put that one. So, yes, I would like to have that as a future agenda item, at least for the marina park.
Yeah. Just to talk about some of the things that have happened in Oakland outside. If sometimes the city moves too slow, action can be made to speed them up through demonstration of great work. That's just something I've seen, but we can certainly talk about it more as an agenda item.
Well, the only reason I want to bring it up is so we can be then informed what are the rules of engagement for those adoptees.
Right.
Or adopters.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we should have to bring it up.
Okay. As Robert mentioned, it would be interesting to hear from Allie at CTC.
Get
those conversations going to have them come in the next several months. That's about the project.
Okay. Any other thoughts on future agenda items?
Sometime and maybe the next couple of meetings, I think at the Parks and Rec, we've been, you know, going through just park reviews. It's just a regular part of our meetings. I think sometime soon I should be presenting something about Pelody Park. When I do that, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the broader area because, like, kind of a hot spot. I talked about this some when we were doing, presenting on, like, you know, basically Powell to Frontage. But I think we should probably have a discussion as a committee about that area and talk about, you know, our ideas because of the way pathways intersect and the way it's going to be maybe our biggest employment center, you know, in a 2-block radius for the foreseeable future. Getting some good ideas on the table about how to better improve the networking and make it a more desirable place to basically buzz around in all directions, because that's more or less what's going to happen. Something we want to talk about in the future. In any case, if you're a fan of watching other committees, you can wait for that Parks and Rec presentation. In any case,
how do they record their meetings? Is it
same as us?
Okay.
May I ask, what was so what's the future agenda? I'm sorry.
Improvements around Pelu Park.
There are no other future agenda item topics. We move to announcements, member comments. There are no announcements or member comments. We can adjourn.
Are you sure you don't want to extend to half an hour?
Yeah. We could do it and then adjourn.
I don't know what to do with myself.
I can go back to volunteering.
Okay.
The phone's still out.
At 7:51, adjourn.
Really early.
Tiny gavel.
There we go.